scripture this morning will be from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
As Brooks just mentioned, we are continuing in our series Walking with Jesus until the end of the month, and then Easter, and then we'll start in Romans. But as we take a turn here in the Sermon on the Mount, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount since Labor Day, you're going to see Jesus start to talk now about things that are eternal, things that go beyond what is just right in front of us. And that's kind of where we've been living. For quite a few weeks now, we've been talking about what is it we do, how do we live as believers, as followers of Jesus, as members of the kingdom, in a one-on-one, in a person-to-person kind of scenario. And we're going to keep talking about that today. But like I said, Jesus is going to turn it, and you just heard Brooks read those words, turn it to look at things that are eternal, consequences that are eternal. And we're going to start with the golden rule. And many of you are familiar with this text. You have perhaps wondered, why it's called the golden rule. If you have a Bible or if you have a Bible app, you may have seen those words written over this passage, but they're written as a heading. Jesus doesn't say this. Nowhere in the biblical text are the words golden rule included, but we've called it the golden rule. Why do we call it the golden rule? Is it because if you follow this rule, you get gold? Anybody tried it? Anybody seen their bank account rise overnight? It's not how it works. That's not why it's the golden rule. We call it the golden rule because, like it says in Proverbs 25, a good word, fitly spoken, a wise word, a good instruction is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. It's like something beautiful that you want to adorn your house with or your clothes with or your body with, right? It's something gorgeous. It's something valuable. And so Jesus, through the Sermon on the Mount, is calling for something more valuable, right? Something greater, something better. It is a good word. In fact, it's a golden word or a golden rule that we would do for others what we would have them do for us. And he says that is a good way of summarizing the law and the prophets. It's a good way of summarizing all that Scripture says about how we should be in right relationship with God and with our fellow man. And that's really what the story of Scripture is about, right? The whole of the Bible starts with God made man in his image, male and female, he created them, and he made them good, very good, it says, in right relationship with each other, in right relationship with him. And then right away, Genesis chapter 3, right at the beginning of the story, that breaks, and the rest of the story is about reconciliation. Now we need to get back to that right relationship with each other and with God. So this is what we mean by golden rule, that it is a good summary, a golden summary of that plan God has for us to be in right relationship with him and with others. But it's not just enough to know that. We have to understand what it means to both want and do what is best. We can say this is the summary. Jesus does say this is the summary, and he goes on to talk about the consequences of that summary. But it's not just enough to say it. We have to know it. What do we do? What do we want to do? And then beyond that, what are these roads and gates that Jesus is talking about? Because it's not always extremely clear what the best path is. And he says that there is a wide road that leads to death and a narrow road that leads to life. And maybe it'd be nice to know what those are, because I think all of us want the road that leads to life, yes? Anybody looking for the road that leads to death this morning? No. Good answer. So we want to know what that looks like. And Jesus is going to tell us, and he's going to show us something about himself and eternity. So if you would pray with me and for me as we launch into this morning. God, help us to understand what is best. You say this is good. You say this is the summary of the law and the prophets. Help us to understand what that means. What does it mean to follow you well? listen to your voice? What does it mean to treat others the way we want to be treated, not to get the things that we want, not to elevate ourselves or make ourselves wonderful, Lord, but to show people that we love them the way that you loved us? Help us to wrap our heads around that. Help us to understand where you're leading us so that we can follow. Pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Anybody have one of these rules for themselves? The golden rule is good. It is golden, in fact, and we like it. But there are lots of other ways that we organize our lives, right? Some of us are just purely selfish, right? Whatever I want done for me, you should do for me. End of story. Anybody applied this ever in their life? It's only your kids, right? It's just small people that do this. Once you get to be about, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9, you have life figured out and you're always generous and always kind. That's a no. No, of course not. We are often selfish. All of us, right into old age, we are often selfish. Sometimes we're self-righteous. Sometimes we do things and we say, look at my good deeds and do like me, right? And Paul actually does a version of this, but he has an important distinction. Paul says, follow me as you see me following Christ, not follow me because I'm good and I'm worth following. Sometimes we are only looking to do what is right to appease people out of fear. We're afraid of being sued. We're afraid of being canceled. We're afraid of being called names or called to account. We're going to do whatever it is that we think will keep us from being harmed, what we think will keep us from suffering. These are just a small sampling of the kinds of things that we do that are not the golden rule, but that kind of rule our lives. And they rule our lives because they encourage us to make decisions for us, for our self-preservation, for our self-righteousness, right? For looking good in front of others. So our rules are not golden. The things that we would choose for ourselves are not good. And Jesus knows this. And so he says, whatever you wish that others would do, do also for them. That's the law and the prophets. It's treat others the way you want to be treated. And if you want the free gift of God, if you want grace, then want that for other people as well. Right? Here's the context that Jesus is speaking in. He's speaking about how life and godliness works here in Matthew. And Brooks just preached last week about the kinds of things that we should do if we are following Jesus. And one of those things is to judge in the way that we want to be judged. Right? If we see something in our neighbor where they are clearly in the wrong, our spouse, our friend, our brother, our sister, we should examine ourselves first, should take the log out of our own eye so that we can clearly address the speck in our brother or sister's eye. He likewise says about good gifts that we should give good gifts like our Father in heaven gives good gifts to us. And Brooks talked about defining good in the way that God defines good, recognizing that if it comes from God, it's good. Even if it's a thing that we wouldn't choose for ourselves, God knows how to give good gifts, and we should therefore follow his example in giving good gifts. And so when Jesus says this, he is absolutely saying it in that context. But know that and remember that all through Matthew here for the first, the whole part of the book up until now, but the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, he is saying again and again and again, I want you to love each other the way I am loving you. And I am loving you so much so that I am giving you my life. I'm going to lay down my life for you. And here in Matthew, he hasn't been explicitly clear about that yet, but as you read the Gospels, you see him pointing ever to that I am going to die and be raised again. And if you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. So this is ultimately the gift that Jesus gives. And if that's what we want for ourselves, that's what we should want for others. So when we talk about the golden rule, when we talk about what it is to want good things for ourselves, put it in this context. Think in this way. Because there are lots of things that we would choose for ourselves that are not this, right? There are physical things that we might want for ourselves, houses and cars and jobs and that sort of thing. There are even relational things that we might want a marriage to look a certain way, our relationship with our kids to look a certain way. All of those might be good or they might be bad. And Jesus is saying, ultimately, remember, the story I'm telling you is about getting back into right relationship with God. It started good. I made it very good. You had everything you needed, and you threw that away. And you said, God, we think we know better. And I've been offering you a way back. I'm trying to show you there is a way back. And one of the things that we ought to do in following Jesus is to love the way that he loves, which is what we ought to want for ourselves. And he goes on to say, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, those that find it are few. Notice it's not just want what is best for yourself and then want that for others. It's also want that in the context of eternity. So do to others as you'd have them do to you. And by the way, want what's a part of God's plan. Find life, otherwise you'll find death. And this is what's going to keep us from wanting things for other people that are bad, because sometimes we do, right? Sometimes we want things for ourselves that are bad, and sometimes we want things for others that are bad. Sometimes we want other people to suffer. Sometimes we want other people to have bad things happen to them because we don't like them, because we're angry with them. Sometimes those other people live in our home. Jesus is saying, there is a way in which I want you to think about this, wanting what is best for yourself and for others. It is this way. There are diverging paths. You are either moving toward life or you're moving toward death. And yes, this is about daily decisions, but this is more importantly about existence, about the whole path that your life is on. And either it is oriented toward life or it's oriented toward death. And so the things that you do, the things that you want, the ways that you would love others are going to put you on one of those two paths. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to want and do what's best. So Jesus says that, right? He says, whatever you would have done for you, do for others. And whatever you would have done for you ought to lead you on the path to life, because otherwise it will lead you on the path to death. So what does this mean? To want and do what's best. I already told you that it is in context true that we're talking about judging others, right? If you judge somebody and you want them to judge you fairly, then you should judge them fairly. If you are giving good gifts to people, you want to receive good gifts, give the kind of gifts that you want to receive. And you can carry those kinds of very temporal, very everyday actions and activities into all of your life. If you go to work and they regularly have cake and they have donuts in the break room and you hate it when somebody takes the last one, don't take the last one. Leave it. You don't need another donut. You will be fine. I know this is shocking and this is revelatory, but it's true. If you hate it when people cut you off in traffic, don't cut people off in traffic. If you hate it when your spouse leaves a mess in the bathroom, don't leave a mess in the bathroom, right? Like, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of daily ways that you can apply this. And that's absolutely true, and that's absolutely good and right that you would think that way. Those are things on the path to life. That's good. Notice that in Luke, in the parallel passage, Jesus follows this statement about doing what you would have done for you. He follows it with, and love your enemies. So that's fine and good. With people that you already like, with people that you already live with and you love even, do to them as you'd have done to you, and also love your enemies this way. Stop and think about this for a second. How many of us want what is best for ourselves? Anybody not want what's best for themselves? Everybody's on that page, right? They all want what's best for themselves. How many of you want what's best for your enemies? I mean, you want them to be punished, right? You want them to suffer? They're your enemies, right? Does anybody wake up in the morning and think, man, I really wish my enemy would come to Christ? I really wish my enemy would receive love and compassion. I really wish the person that I hate the most in the world would get good gifts from God. You want that for yourself. Jesus says, take that even to your enemies. Why? Why does Jesus want us to love our enemies in this way? When they are our enemies, they are seeking to do us harm. I'm not talking about pretend enemies. I'm not talking about being in junior high, right? And there's that one kid who kind of looks at you funny in the hallway, makes you feel bad, and they're your enemy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who literally want to harm you. Why would we love them? Because Jesus does. Because Jesus, while we are still sinners, lays down his life for us. He loved us while we hated him. He loved us while we were his enemies. And he says, just do this also. You want to be in right relationship with me? I made you. You want to be in right relationship with each other? I made you. I know. I understand that you're not always nice to each other. Love each other even while you're enemies. Love your enemies in the same way that you want to be loved. This is wanting and doing what is best. Jesus sets the tone. He models what is best. He loves us while we're still his enemies. He perfectly fulfills the law and the prophets. He loves his neighbor as himself. He treats others the way he wants to be treated. We see in Scripture that we ought to desire or want to be like Jesus, and we're also called to obey his commands. So when you hear or when you read in the text, do unto others as you would have done unto you, bring it all the way here to living like Jesus lives, doing what Jesus does, wanting to be like him. Because this is what we should want for ourselves. What are you wanting for yourself this morning? Did you just want extra sleep this morning? A better breakfast than you got? You were hoping that article of clothing that you intended to wear was clean and it wasn't? You were hoping that there were better, you know, people driving in front of you, that there was a better parking spot? Think of all of the things that you wanted for yourself. There's nothing wrong with wanting good things for yourself. But Jesus wants what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. So if we really want good, we should want what Jesus wants. And then if we really want to follow him, we should want that even for our enemies. So the golden rule, if we're following it, is actually kind of difficult, right? It is harder than we think. It's comprehensive. It covers justice and good gifts. It also covers ultimately the way to life or the way to death. Because that's the consequence, right? The consequence of not wanting what is best, not just for us, but for our neighbor, is that it puts us on this path that leads to death. And yes, it is about individual decisions. But also it's just about who are you following? What road are you walking on? Where are you headed? What's your direction? Jesus says that there are wide gates and easy roads that lead to death. Wide gates and easy roads. That means comfort. That means it's straightforward. You can find it simply. There are lots of people walking there, he says. And this is a hard thing. It's a hard thing to wrap your head around, but it's true that you can find those easy paths without Jesus. You can find ease and comfort, wide gates, by not choosing to follow Jesus. And that might seem counterintuitive. You might think, well, aren't we in church? Aren't you supposed to say that the best way is to follow Jesus? Yes, the best way is to follow Jesus. It's not always the easiest or most comfortable path. And if you don't believe me that it's possible to find comfort on the way to death or the way to suffering, just picture in your mind a comfortable prison. Right? Just picture in your mind that you go home today and then people show up outside of your house and they say, you can't leave anymore. But we're going to replace all your furniture. We're going to give you the nicest bed and the nicest couches. We're going to improve your TV. We're going to stock your refrigerator. You just can't leave. But we're going to make you as comfortable as possible. And that would be a life of ease, right? You don't have to work anymore. In fact, you can't work anymore. You're not allowed to leave the house. But here's a new phone every 6 months, and we'll update it, and we'll give you the latest version of Candy Crush, whatever it is you play, right? We will make you comfortable. You just aren't free. Now, most of us don't want that. Most of us think that sounds like a terrible idea. But we can understand, we can wrap our heads around the fact that that would be easy, right? That would be comfortable. But it wouldn't necessarily be good. In fact, I would say it'd be bad. We couldn't live as we were made to live. We couldn't do what we were created to do. And yet, that is what happens when we look for those wide gates and those easy roads. When we seek comfort first, when we seek ease first, instead of seeking what's best for ourselves and for others. And it doesn't just look like that. It is possible to find ease in this life apart from Jesus. Right? The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. But it doesn't just look like sitting around and doing nothing. Right? There are lots of ways that we can be on this road to destruction. In Psalm 1 and 2, it talks very clearly about wicked, people who give wicked counsel, people who are actively sinning, people who are scoffing, people who are plotting against God. It lays out this picture of this very clear division of good and evil. And if you read Psalm 1 and 2, it is like two paths. It talks about a right way and a wrong way. It talks about a good and a bad. It can look like that sometimes. Sometimes there are people in our lives that are very clearly doing wrong, saying wrong, and we go and we spend time with them, and we put ourselves on that path that leads to destruction. Right? It's very obvious. Other times, though, it is in religious fervor. It is in looking like or trying to look like the right kind of Christian that we put ourselves on the road that leads to destruction. And I reference Isaiah 1 here because in Isaiah, the people are sacrificing to God. The people are celebrating religious feasts. And God says, I hate that. You need to stop that because you are not serving me when you're doing that. And so notice, Scripture is clear. The road back to a right relationship with God, it doesn't necessarily look like just doing the right things religiously. I'm glad that you're here. It's good that you would come and worship with the body of Christ. But attending church, checking off a box, right, having read a certain number of passages in Scripture each week or going to a Bible study, those are not guarantees of right relationship with God. They're good things, but you can do good things for the wrong reason. And if you are trying to get other people to do good things for the wrong reason, not only are you on the wrong path, but you're leading them down the wrong path. And so notice, pay attention, that it's not just obvious situations where people are giving you wicked counsel, but the road to death can also include people doing apparently righteous things. Jesus is very clear in John 3:18. He says, if you don't believe, that is also putting you on the path that leads to death. And I know that that sounds exclusive, and we've talked about that before here at Grace. We've talked about the fact that it is hard sometimes to hear that Jesus is exclusive in this way. He says that I am the only way to life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. Because that means that you have friends, you have neighbors, you have loved ones, family members maybe, who are obviously, very clearly not following Jesus' path because they've directly rejected him. And Jesus says that in John 3:18. He says, those people stand condemned because they haven't believed in God's Son. And that feels hard because it's so exclusive, because Jesus is saying it's me or no other way. But we have to remember what he also says, which is that that free choice, that free gift, right, is yours just for the asking. So yeah, it's exclusive. Yeah, he is the only way, but he is there for the taking. He is standing ready. We just need to open the door. So wide gates and easy roads lead to death. It looks lots of different ways. You can listen to bad counsel. You can sometimes be in church and be headed in the wrong way. You can just hear Christ's message and reject him. All of those will put you on the road that leads to death. So what does the narrow gate and the hard road look like? By contrast, Jesus says it is a narrow gate that you have to enter through. The gate is wide. The way is easy that leads to destruction. Those that enter by it are many. The gate is narrow. The way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. Again, Jesus is very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So very, very pointedly, first and foremost, this is what it means for the gate to be narrow and the way to be hard, that there is one person that we must come to if we want everlasting life. Just one. It's not anybody here, right? It's nobody that you've heard on the radio. It's no podcast that you've listened to. It's no sermon. It's no book that you've read. It's just Jesus. It is that narrow. And submitting to him is the first and most difficult task. And I say it is difficult because if you really want to submit to Jesus, that means that all of those things that you want for yourself, you have to let go, set them aside, and ask Jesus, okay, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to make you Lord of my life. What do you want for me? I know what I want for me, right? In my flesh, in my laziness, I would like to get up when I want to get up. I would like to not have any responsibilities. I would like people to feed me food, provide me with clothing, provide me with shelter, right? And then maybe ask me how I'm doing later in the day, just because. You know, pat my head, send me back to bed because I should go back to bed. And I should just continue to do whatever I want. That's what I want for myself in my flesh, in my laziness, right? And all of your desires, they look different. You guys, some of you want to be active. You want to be out riding your bikes. You want to be out running. But you don't want anybody to stop you. Right? You just want to be able to go and do. You want to be able to build things. You want to be able to make things. Not necessarily bad. But you want it for your own purpose. And the first and hardest part, I would say, about following Jesus is putting aside all of those things and asking him first, what would you have me do? What do you want for me? I know what I want for me. What do you want for me? Beyond that, being willing to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. That's also hard if you're serious. We've read through a number of Jesus's commands just in the last couple of weeks. Him saying, treat other people this way. Right? This word today, this golden rule, it is a command. Do to others. This is the command. Do to others as you would have done to you. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Love other people the way you want to be loved. He said, that sums up the Law and the Prophets. And the Law and the Prophets have a number of rules as well, a number of commands as well. And obeying those is epitomized in, it's represented by whatever you would have done for you, do to others. But it doesn't mean that those other things go away. We still can't murder, right? That's still on the table. Can't commit adultery. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those things he calls us to, and that is also hard. And at the end of all things, the gate into eternal life is so narrow, Jesus alone can open it. This is the language that Revelation uses, right? That he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy to open the way into life. So Jesus opens that way, and if we're going to go in, we have to follow him directly, walk in his footsteps. We have to be his disciple. So that's how hard and how narrow that road is that leads to life. Yes, it does look like loving God above all. I put Exodus 20 there just as a reminder of where the Ten Commandments are. Yes, that's true. It does look like that. Micah characterizes it this way. He says it's about doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with God. Also true. Jesus says, it's about believing in me. Also true. There are going to be so many ways today, when you leave here, that you will be tempted to honor yourself, to love yourself, to serve yourself, to hate your enemies. Jesus says, believe in me, follow after me, and then want that for other people. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. I also need to say this because saying that the road is hard, that the way is narrow, immediately makes some of you very anxious. And for good reason, because you're thinking, okay, now what do I have to do to follow Jesus? You said believe, and Jesus himself says believe, so now what do I have to do? Well, you do have to obey him. He does want you to obey his commands. He does want you to walk in the same way that he walks. But we do not ever, here at Grace, ever tell you that that is in order to earn your salvation, because Scripture doesn't tell you that is in order to earn your salvation. Salvation is always a free gift. God always gives you grace to be saved through faith, always a free gift. We have his wisdom in addition to rely on. It tells us in James 1. We have the Spirit of God. In Zechariah 4, they're building a new temple. Right? The Jews go into exile in Babylon. They come back and their temple has been destroyed and their community has been destroyed. And they're going to build a new temple and they're going to rebuild their society. And the people are depressed because the temple that existed before was gorgeous. It was this magnificent thing. God dwelled there. And this new temple, this work is hard. They're not able to do it the way they want. And God says to them, listen, it is not by your might or your strength that this happens, but by my Spirit that this happens, my power. And the same is true for you. It's for your lives. This is true. It's not just your effort, right? God will use your effort, but he's going to use his Spirit. So ask for his wisdom, ask for his Spirit, and then rest on God's provision. I'm going to turn to Romans 8 for a second here. If you want to follow with me, turn over to Romans 8. But I'm reading this so that you would be encouraged, so that you would hear how God wants to provide for you. It is a narrow road. It is hard, right? A narrow gate and a hard road. But this is what Paul says to us in Romans 8, starting in verse 31, about God's love. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And he goes on to talk about how we can't be separated from the love of Christ. I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know all of your lives well enough to know that. But I know that God's grace is sufficient for you. I know that you will not be asked to be crucified for Jesus today because he already was crucified for you. I know that whatever he asks of you, however hard the road is and how narrow that gate appears that leads to life, he will provide graciously, give you all things that you need for life and godliness. And like Brooks said last week, it may not be the things that you want, because the things that you want might have more to do with life and comfort and life and ease. And Jesus is being good and he's being gracious to us to tell us that life of ease and comfort, it might just be the path that leads to death. You should pay attention. The things that you're asking for may not be good for you, but I will graciously give you good gifts. I will graciously give you all that you need. And then you need to take that and give it away. So ask yourself today, life or death. Anybody going to get hung up on this one? Anybody really struggling? Have I not made the case for life yet? Just in case. Scripture says that none of us are righteous. It says that through sin, death comes for us all. And Scripture tells us that death itself even can be seductive. It can tempt us. And yeah, I do mean those people who struggle with suicidal thoughts, right? That is a way that death is seductive. But more commonly, more generally, death is seductive because it's easy and because it's comfortable. And you're like, whoa, 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 death is not comfortable. But it is. It is easier for us often to walk on that wide road. It is easier for us to just listen to the counsel of sinners, or easier for us to take the self-righteous path and go to church because it's the right thing to do. It's easier for us, it is seductive for us to do the kinds of things that will just keep us out of trouble with the world, with people around us. That's what I mean by death is seductive. That's what Scripture means. And we have to remember that Jesus is telling us this is what the road to death looks like. So even though none of you is going to raise your hands when I say who wants to choose death, we do choose death, right? We do choose ease and comfort. We do choose following ourself and following the paths of this world before following Jesus. Jesus is life. Jesus gives life. And we were made to live with God. I said when I started that God tells us this story throughout all of Scripture, that he wants to be in right relationship with us. And he wants you and I to have right relationship with each other. And so here is what the path to life looks like. It's hard. The gate's narrow. But if we walk obediently with Jesus, we will find life. We can have everlasting life. So Jesus makes this turn. He talks about eternity. And that's where I'm going to wrap up now and ask you to think about these things as you go out from this place today. Jesus makes this turn. Next week, Jason is going to talk about some of the eternal things that Jesus is pointing us to. If you are here this morning and you have not believed in Jesus, I'm going to encourage you this morning to repent and believe in Jesus, because he is offering everlasting life. And if you haven't thought much on death, if you're scared of death, not scared to death, scared of death, think about it. Don't just be scared of it. Recognize that it is ultimately the easier path, and that the harder path is the better path, and that Jesus is standing on it and offering you his hand and saying, just believe and receive grace. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. This is what John the Baptist calls people to do after he baptizes them. He says, now go and do those things, obey Jesus, follow after him in the way that he has called you to. And whatever you would have done for you, do for others, and especially that includes following Jesus. If you have trusted Jesus, then you know that that is the thing you want most for yourself. To continue to walk as Jesus walked. So want that for other people, even your enemies. Want that for everyone. Evangelize through disciple making. Some of you are not evangelists. You're not going to stand up on a stage. You're not going to preach a message. That's fine. Just follow Jesus and do it in front of people and encourage them to follow with you. Invite them along. Make disciples by being a disciple of Jesus. Please stand. I'm going to read the benediction this morning from Ephesians chapter 3. Nope, chapter 2. Here's the good word for all of us today. You are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And in grace, by grace, we have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God, thank you for saving us when we were enemies. Thank you for showing us how to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, you make it very clear that this goes not just to our loved ones, but to the whole world, to our enemies even, that we should love everyone in the way we want to be loved. And Lord, I pray that we would love them enough to share you with them. This is possible in you. Help us to follow you well. God, be with us today as we go out from this place, teaching us to love as you love and live as you live. I pray in your name. Amen. Have a good week. Go in grace.